Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Memorei Avram Goldhar and Dimon Sekhot Sukkah Daf Yud Ches. The first parak, Sukkah Shehi Gavoah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Abai said, Avir Shlosha B'Sukkah Gadola. If there's an open space of three tefachim in the schach of a large sukkah, Miyatu ben Bekanim ben Beshpudim, and he reduced it either with sticks, which are valid as schach, or with spits, which are puzzle, havi miut. It's an effective reduction, meaning the gap now lacks the width of three tefachim necessary to puzzle the schach. Basukkah katana, however, in a small sukkah, which is only 7x7 tefachim, if you reduce it with sticks, it's effective, but if you reduce it with spits, it's not effective. Rashi explains that sticks are effective in reducing the gap via lavud. The spits are not effective since the open space and spits together form a gap in the schach of three tefachim, and they're significant enough to be regarded as separate from the schach, and the valid schach lacks the requisite dimensions of 7x7 tefachim. Point number two, the Gemara qualifies that a gap of less than three tefachim wide does not puzzle a sukkah, mina tzad, if the gap is at the side between the schach and a wall. But with regard to a gap in the middle of the sukkah, Ravach and Ravina disagree. One says, Yesh Lavid Be'emsa, the principle of Lavid applies even in the middle, and one says, Ein Lavid Be'emsa, Lavid does not apply in the middle. The one who holds Yesh Lavid Be'emsa learns it from a case taught in a brace regarding a Mavui, where two cords project from opposite walls but do not touch each other, leaving a gap in the middle. If the gap is less than three tefachim, it's not necessary to bring another korah due to Lavid. The other opinion who holds that Lavid only applies at the side would answer, Shani Korah the Rabbanan. The law of Korah is different since it's only a Rabbanan. The one who holds Ein Lavid Be'emsa learns it from a Mishnah in Olos, where a source of Tuma is opposite an Aruba, a skylight that does not have an opening of a Tevach, and the din is Kol HaBayis Kulo Tahor, the whole house is Tahor. The Mishnah treats the skylight as an open gap in the roof, even though it's less than three Tefachim wide. That indicates that Ein Lavid Be'emsa. The other opinion who holds Yesh Lavid Be'emsa would answer Shani Hilchas Tuma, the Hachi Gemira Luhu. The laws of Tuma are different, for this is how they were taught. At Sinai, it's a halacha Moshe Misinai regarding Tumah that Lavid only applies to walls. This law cannot be automatically extended to other halachos, such as a sukkah. And point number three was stated, Sikha kal gabi aksadur sheyesh patsimin kashera. If one plays chach on a porch that has columns in front of it, positioned at intervals of less than three tefachim, this sukkah is kosher. She'ein la patsimim, if it does not have such columns, Abai said that it is kosher, and Rava says it is pasul. Abai says the sukkah is kosher, arminim piturka yord v'sosem, because we say that the edge of the roof extends downward and seals, meaning the edge of each porch roof is viewed as extending downward to form the sukkah's requisite partitions. Rava says that the sukkah is pasul, lo arminim piturka yord v'sosem. Rava challenged Abai and said that according to Abai, afil hipchis dovin emsai, even if the middle wall of a three-walled sukkah collapsed, the sukkah should still be kosher because the edge of the schach is yord v'sosem. It descends and seals to replace the collapsed wall. Abai said that he concedes that the sukkah is puzzle in that case, the havli kamavli mafuash, because it's like an open alleyway. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Abai said, Avir shloisha b'sukkah gadola, if there's an open space of three tefachim in the schach of a large sukkah, miyatu ben bekanim ben b'shpudim, and he reduced it either with sticks, which are valid as schach, or with spits, which are puzzle, havi miut. It's an effective reduction, meaning the gap now lacks the width of three tefachim necessary to puzzle the schach. B'sukkah katana, however, in a small sukkah, which is only 7x7 tefachim, if he reduced it with sticks, it is effective, but if he reduced it with spits, it's not effective. Rashi explains that sticks are effective in reducing the gap via lavud. The spits are not effective since the open space and spits together form a gap in the schach of three tefachim, and they're significant enough to be regarded as separate from the schach, and the valid schach lacks the requisite dimensions of 7x7 tefachim. Point number two, the Gemara qualifies that a gap of less than three tefachim wide does not puzzle a sukkah mina tzad if the gap is at the side between the schach and a wall. But with regard to a gap in the middle of the sukkah, Ravach and Ravina disagree. One says, Yesh Lavid Be'emsa, the principle of Lavid applies even in the middle. And one says, Ein Lavid Be'emsa, Lavid does not apply in the middle. The one who holds Yesh Lavid Be'emsa learns it from a case and a price regarding a mabui or two korahs project from opposite walls but do not touch each other, leaving a gap in the middle. If the gap is less than three tefachim, it's not necessary to bring another korah due to Lavid. The other opinion holds that Lavid only applies at the side would answer Shani Korah the Rabbanan. The love Korah is different since it's only a Rabbanan. And the one who says Ein Lavid Be'emsa learns it from Mishnah and Olos, where a source of Tumah is opposite an Aruba, a skylight that does not have an opening of a Tevach, and the din is called Bais Kulo Tahor. The whole house is Tahor. The Mishnah treats the skylight as an open gap in the roof, even though it's less than three Tefachim wide, indicating that Ein Lavid Be'emsa. The other opinion holds the Yesh Lavid Be'emsa would answer Shani Hilchos Tumah, the Hachi Gemir Lahu. The laws of Tumah are different, but this is how they were taught at Sinai. It's halacha Moshe Sinai regarding Tumah, that Lavid only applies to walls. This law cannot be automatically extended to other halachos, such as sukkah. And point number three was stated, Sicha Gabi Aksadri Shieshla Petzimim Kachera. If one plays schach on a porch that has columns in front of it, positioned at intervals of less than three tefachim, the sukkah is kosher. Sheinla Petzimim, if it does not have such columns, Abai says that it's kosher, and Rava says that it's pasul. Abai says the sukkah is kosher, Amrin and Pitrika Yor Vesosa. Because we say that the edge of the roof extends downward and seals, meaning the edge of each porch roof is viewed as extending downward to form the sukkah's requisite partitions. Rava says that the sukkah is pasul, lo Amrin and Pitrika Yord Vesosim. Rava challenged Abai and said that according to Abai, Afil Hipchis, Dofen Emsai, even if the middle wall of a three-walled sukkah collapsed, the sukkah should still be kosher because the edge of the schach is Yord Vesosim, descends and seals to replace the collapsed wall. Abai said that he concedes that the sukkah is puzzle in that case, the Havli Kamavli Mafulash, because it's like an open alleyway. Alright, so now we go to our Simon Daf Yud Ches, and our standard Simon is a Chuppah, because Ben Yud Ches L Chuppah, someone's 18 should go to Chuppah, and a Ches also sort of looks like a Chuppah. So here goes. When the Chasen who proudly designed his Chuppah as a large Sukkah, with three Tefachim of open space closed in a bit with spits, was challenged by his father-in-law whether Lavut applies in the middle, the collar ran out embarrassed and hit on the porch covered in Schach, that had no columns. Once again in slow motion. When the Chasen who proudly designed his Chuppah Chuppah, that must be more in Daf Yud Ches. When the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah as a large sukkah, with three tefachim of open space closed in a bit with spits, which reminds us that Abai said that an open space of three tefachim in the schach of a large sukkah can be reduced with sticks, which are valid schach, or with spits, which are puzzle, since the gap now lacks the width of three tefachim necessary to puzzle the sukkah. However, in a small sukkah, which is only 7x7 tefachim, if he reduced it with spits, it is not effective, since the open space and spits together form a gap in the schach of three tefachim. Therefore, they're significant enough to be regarded as separate from the schach, and the valid schach lacks the requisite dimensions of 7x7 tefachim. So when the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah as a large sukkah, with three tefachim of open space closed in a bit with spits, was challenged by his father-in-law whether lavud applies in the middle, which reminds us there's a malchukas whether yesh lavud be'emsa. The one who says yesh lavud be'emsa brings a raya from two protruding koras, two beams in the mavli that don't meet in the middle, but there's less than three tefachim between them, and that works. The one who says ein lavud be'emsa brings a raya from tuma opposite a small aruba, a skylight, where the bias is deemed tahor. So when the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah as a large sukkah, with three tefachim of open space closed in a bit with spits, was challenged by his father-in-law whether lavud applies in the middle, the kol ran out embarrassed and hit on the porch covered in schach that had no columns. Which reminds us of one place schach on a porch, she'en lo pitzimim, that does not have columns that are placed at intervals less than three tefachim wide. Abai says the sukkah is kosher, amrinim pitikri yord vesosim, because we say that the edge of the roof extends downwards and seals, meaning the edge of each porch is viewed as extending downward to form the sukkah's requisite partitions. Rava says the sukkah is possible because he holds lo amrinim pitikra yord vesosim. So once again, when the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah as a large sukkah with three tefachim of open space closed in a bit with spits, was challenged by his father-in-law whether lavud applies in the middle, the kol ran out embarrassed and hit on the porch covered in schach that had no columns. All right, now it's time for a four-block Baal Chazora. Daf Yadal, the simmer Daf Yadal is a hand, and we use a juggler. So here goes. The juggler, that must be more in Daf Yadal, Yad, hand. The juggler juggling pitchforks as he davened, which reminds Rabbi Lazar, said, Laman nimshla tefilasan shal tzedikim ka'eser. Why are the tefilas of tzedikim compared to a pitchfork? To tell you, da ma'eser ze mahapech za tefilah begorim ma'makom ma'makom, af tefilasan shal tzedikim ma'hapech ez da tshol kadosh baruch hu, memidas achzari ez gemidas rachmanas. Just as the pitchfork turns over the grain that's on the threshing floor and tosses it from one place to another, so too the tefilas of tzedikim turn over, so to speak, the attitude of a kadosh baruch hu from the attribute of harsh judgment to the attribute of mercy. So the juggler juggling pitchforks as he davened, while standing on sukkah boards that were less than 4 tefachim wide, which reminds the next Mishnah states, Masachim Minasarim Divir Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Osa. Rabbi Yehuda says, we may cover a sukkah with boards, but Rabbi Meir prohibits them. Rav says, the Malchok is with boards that have a width of at least 4 tefachim. The Rabbi Meir Esle Gezeres Tikra, for Rabbi Meir subscribes to the rabbinic decree prohibiting boards that resemble those of the roof of a house. And Rabbi Yehuda does not hold the Gezeres Tikra, and therefore permits such boards. They both agree that boards that are less than 4 tefachim are kosher. Shmuel says they disagree regarding boards that are between 3 and 4 tefachim wide. Rabbi Yehuda holds that since they lack the size of a makom chashuv, a significant area, we're not gozer that they are puzzle, where Meir holds that since they are beyond the scope of lavud, we are gozer that they are puzzle. So the juggler juggling pitchforks as he davened, while standing on sukkah boards that were less than 4 tefachim wide, dropped one between some sukkah boards that were standing on their sides. Which reminds us, it was stated HaFachan al Tziden, if one turned the boards on their sides and covered the sukkah with them, Rav Huna says that they are puzzled, and Rav Nachman explains that they're treated like metal spits that are makabotum, but Rav Chis and Rabba Rav Huna say that they are kosher because the Rabban only prohibited boards that resemble the roof of a house, which is not the case here. Dav Tezvav. So the Siman Dav Tezvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. The fruit bowl display. Fruit bowl. That must mean we're on Dav Tezvav. The fruit bowl display in the sukkah came crashing down when one bacher loosening the boards on top started shaking them, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states that Tikrish Eino Lehem Azeva, a roof of boards that has no plaster on it. Rav Yehuda says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagree over what must be done to render it kosher as chach. Beis Shammai says, Mefakbek v'nota achz b'im time. One loosens the board because of tazvo min asui and takes out one board from between every two boards because he holds of gezeres tikra. Beis Hillel say, Mefakbek o'nota achz b'im time. One loosens them or takes one board from between every two boards because he doesn't hold of gezeres tikra, and therefore only one of the two methods is necessary to overcome the problem that they were originally placed there for a house. Rav Meir says, no to achz b'im time, be'en mefakbek. Rav Meir, as we learn, holds that four sparking boards are possible for schach and need to be replaced with kosher schach, and once that is done, no other action is necessary. So the fruit bowl display in the sukkah came crashing down when one bacher loosening the boards on top started shaking them, as another one knocks them over while inserting metal spits. Which reminds the next Mishnah states that one who makes a roof over a sukkah with spits or with the sides of the bed, if there is space between them as wide as the items themselves, and he fills the gaps with kosher schach, the sukkah is kosher. And the Gemara suggests that the Mishnah is not in accordance with Rav Huna, but Rav Shua holds parts go omed aser. The Gemara answers that Rav Huna would say that the Mishnah means a case of benignus v'yotze, where a spit would go in and out of each gap easily, meaning the gaps are wider than the spits. Rava answers that the Mishnah can even be a case where the gaps were not enlarged slightly more than the width of the spits. Rather, if the spits were placed lengthwise, then he placed the valid schach crosswise across the top of the spits. And if he placed the spits crosswise, he'd place the valid schach lengthwise. In these cases, the valid schach will exceed the puzzle spits. So the fruit bowl display in the sukkah came crashing down when one bacher loosening the boards on top started shaking them, as another one knocks them over while inserting metal spits and tossing over some old clothes as schach. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that the sides of a bed are not valid as schach, and the Gemara suggests that this supports the opinion of Rabbi Ami Bar Tov Yom, who said that if one covered his sukkah with worn-out pieces of clothing, the sukkah is possible, although these pieces of fabric are no longer kelim and should therefore be kosher. The Rabbanu goes that since they were originally part of kelim that were makabel tumah, they cannot be used as schach. The Gemara deflects his proof, saying that the Mishnah is dealing with a long side of the bed with two short legs, or a short side with two legs, which means these sides of the bed are kelim and are thus possible for schach. Daft Hazain, so the Simmer Daft Hazain is toes. So here goes. The acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes, that must be more on Daft Tezayin. The acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes to hollow out a haystack that had a cavity, one tefachai, which reminds us, in the case of a chote begadish, if one hollowed out a haystack and there was a cavity, one tefachai, for a length of seven tefachim, then it is a kosher sukkah. Rush explains that for the straw to meet the definition of schach, it would have to cover an empty space of at least one tefachai, for that's the minimum height of an oath. Therefore, if it also has the length of seven tefachim, it would meet the requirement of kosher schach, and there would not be an issue of tasav alaminasui. Although the cavity needs to be hollowed out further to a height of 10 tefachim, that's necessary only in order to make the walls kosher, and the requirement of tasav alaminasui does not apply to sukkah walls. So the acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes to haul out a haystack that had a cavity, one tefachai, landed with one foot under a mechitza tluya, which reminds us. In the next mission, Rabbi Yossi holds that if one constructs sukkah walls from the top down, then even if a wall is three tefachim above the ground or higher, it's kosher, for he maintains that a mechitza tluya is materis, a suspended partition is a kosher mechitza. A similar case from Erevin is brought, where Rabbi Yudah rules that in the case of a cistern between two chetzeros, the wall running over the cistern should act as mechitza to legally divide the water, even if it doesn't enter the cistern's cavity, and suggests that Rabbi Yudah's ruling is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who holds mechitza tluya materis in the case of the sukkah. And so to hear the wall going over the cistern, which is a mechitza tluya, is considered a full wall. The Gemara rejects the suggestion, pointing out that perhaps Rabbi Yudah would only apply the principle to a derabanan, such as Erevin, but not to a deraisa, such as sukkah, and perhaps Rabbi Yossi would only apply it to a sukkah, which is an iser aseh, but not to a matter of Shabbos, which is an iser skila. So the acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes to haul out a haystack that had a cavity, one tefachai, landed with one foot under a mechitza tluya, and the other under a suspended mat that was four tefachim and a bit in size. Which reminds us, Machetzelos arbo mashu materis pasukim mishum dofen, a mat whose width is four tefachim and a bit and is suspended midway between the schach and the ground with a gap of less than three tefachim below it and a gap of less than three tefachim above it is a kosher wall, because any gap less than three tefachim wide is treated as though it were closed based on lavud. The Gemara explains that one might have thought chad lavud amrin trei lavud lo amrin, that we apply the law of lavud to extend a mechitza once, but not to apply lavud to extend it twice. Rav Chisda therefore teaches that we apply lavud twice to the same mechitza. Daf Yud Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Yud Zayin is a used car salesman. So here goes. The used car salesman. Used car salesman. That must be run Daf Yud Zayin. The used car salesman who sold used sukkahs on the side with airspace and pasul schach, which reminds us that the Talmudim of Rav said in the name of Rav, Avir posel b'shloshah schach pasul posel b'arba. A strip of open airspace is posel sukkah when it's 3 tefachim wide, and a strip of invalid schach posels a sukkah when it's 4 tefachim wide. When Rav challenged them based on the Mishnah that teaches that if the roof of a house was breached in the center and one places schach on top of it, if there's a distance of 4 amos between the wall and the house and the schach, the sukkah's pasul, which implies that a gap narrower than 4 amos does not disqualify, the Talmidim answered him that that halach is based on Dovan Akuma, in which less than 4 amos invalid schach can be viewed as part of a bent wall. Their ruling of 4 tefachim concerns pasul schach in the middle of the sukkah. So the used car salesman who sold used sukkahs on the side with airspace and pasul schach tried to convince the shopper not to take the one with airspace next to less than 4 tefachim of fabric, which reminds the Rebbe posed another challenge that when there's a case of a strip of pasul schach less than 4 tefachim wide in the middle of the sukkah, and next to it there's a strip of open space less than 3 tefachim wide, the sukkah is kosher because there's not enough pasul schach to invalidate. Yet, if one filled the open space with spitz or other pasul schach, the sukkah is pasul because the width of the invalid material is now at least 4 tefachim. But should not the open space which disqualifies a sukkah when there's just 3 tefachim wide be as potent as pasul schach, which disqualifies a sukkah when 4 tefachim wide? The Talmidim responded that if the question is valid, then Rabbah would have the same challenge in the case of a strip of invalid schach less than 4 amos wide in the middle of a sukkah next to an open space of less than 3 amos wide. So the used car salesman who sold used sukkahs on the side with airspace and pasul schach tried to convince the shopper not to take the one with airspace next to less than 4 tefachim of fabric, but to buy the luxury halacha l'moshe m'Sinai one with almost 4 amos of fabric instead, since it doesn't combine. Which reminds us, the Rebbe responded to the challenge by saying that there's no comparison. According to him, the Mishnah's rule that Dalet Amos of Pasul Schach invalidates a sukkah is not based on Dofen Akuma, but it is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai shear that disqualifies a sukkah, whether the material is at the side of the sukkah or in the middle. And this strip of invalid material, which measures 4 amos only when it combines with open space, doesn't have the shear to disqualify sukkah. For since the shiurim for the invalid schach and open space are not equal, along with starfe, they don't combine to make up the requisite minimum. But according to the Talmidim, who stated shear of dal tefachim based on original reasoning that the measurement is only significant mishum hafraga because of a gap, it's the minimum that constitutes the separation, they must therefore explain what difference it makes whether the separation is made through pasul schach alone or through a combination of pasul schach and open space. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.